The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another Keeper and Curry, a show where the Keeper and Tony Curry, who we also do a TV show on ABC 3340 every Saturday morning. How much you like that Taylor Hicks show we did this past week? Did you like that?
Telling you, Tony, that was as good as it gets for a local program. We don't have a staff of writers and
we have one. His name's Daryl. He's an old black guy.
That's right. Daryl puts the show together, and let's give public props to him. Daryl is doing a fabulous job. Fantastic. We completely upgraded the format to reflect the football season about 3 weeks ago. But this latest show, Taylor Hicks, huge shout out to Taylor Hicks. He was just a delight to have on the show. Such a positive energy. Him and the legend together is legendary TV. Paul Feinbaum show doesn't put that clip on their show this week, their producers need to be run off. He's fantastic. Got a staff of about 15 people, too. That was great. And we had a fun interview with Taylor. Thank him so much for that. And the information we put out, our correspondents, you know, Tony, we have people spread across the country, Dallas, Las Vegas, Birmingham, and we're making it all fit. And I'm really couldn't be prouder of the show. So if you haven't seen it yet, tune in 10:30 Saturday mornings. And also you can go to either TKR. Tony, I know you all have that show posted very quickly, and I've also got it on my site, kqshows.com. So there's plenty of places you can see the show if you missed it.
Another great guest, Trent Dilfer, for the first time, will join us
on
the show.
How about UAB head coach, Super Bowl winning quarterback?
I do a show called The Inferno. I'm going to be recording that show a little bit later on this afternoon. He's kind enough to come in and get ready for the Navy game, which is a very interesting game. Coming up this weekend, Navy, of course, trying to go undefeated.
Navy.
Four games.
They're beat 3-2. Memphis like a yard dog.
Dude, I had Memphis minus the 9. I know that was my best bet, and I got drudged. Now, I did love the over in that game, and I did hit my underdog with BYU. But yeah, I mean, Navy, I mean, I looked up, and next thing you know, they put 35 up on Memphis. Memphis is not going to the Elite 12 or whatever the hell you want to call it. That is not a playoff team.
Yeah. It really screams once again. College football is a little different animal. Week to week, you don't know what you're going to get. They went down there and got the big, big win against Florida State last week, the game that they had on their calendar. This is a must win if we have aspirations of going to higher ground. Mm-hmm. And then they're just flat as day old beer against Navy. It's a trend we see every week in college football.
Blake Horvath, the quarterback for Navy, averaging 10.8 yards per carry. Pretty good. Yeah, I mean, that triple option is still working pretty good. I would say it's even scary. And so I'm walking through the mall the other day, and I see one of these scary places, one of these Halloween places. They're already open, Kip. They're already open. We're 5 or 6 weeks away from Halloween. So I have written down, I thought to myself, what is scary to Tony Curry right now? I wrote down things that just came to my mind, popped in my head, and I'm going to bounce these scary things off Kip Keeper. I want you to just say the first thing that comes off your mind. If you want to go a little deeper, you personally can, okay?
All right, fire away.
The Dallas Cowboys offense, scary.
Very scary. Inconsistent. I hate inconsistency.
Any thoughts on that offense? Now, they did come back against Baltimore. They did come back, and it's weird because it's strange when you put an NFL team in a 2-minute drill. It's amazing how damn good it looks. I don't know why they don't run that the entire game, but they're down 28-6, and all of a sudden they come out of nowhere in the fourth quarter. But your thoughts on their offense? Anything?
CD Lamb, they're so dependent on him. Cooks has helped a little bit yesterday, but you know, Tony, you have to point the finger where the finger needs to be pointed. In my opinion, I think Dak Prescott as an NFL player has been wildly inconsistent. I think Dak can be brilliant, but then Dak has these lapses where he makes terrible decisions. He reminds me an awful lot of the guy in the booth. Now, when Tony Romo was the Dallas quarterback, he could be spectacular, and the next game he would throw 4 inexplicable interceptions at the worst times possible. And I don't know, there's just something about Dak. I just don't think he provides the steady leadership needed, despite the fact that he gets plaudits all the time.
I totally agree with you. And I think sometimes, I don't know why, but people are like, well, it's because he got paid. They don't listen. They care about getting paid, but don't think just because all of a sudden he's got a pot full of money, he's not showing up. It's not like all of a sudden he decided to I don't think it's that at all. And I think another guy named Drew Bledsoe, who was another one of those guys that where one week he could look fantastic.
Yeah.
But he just didn't have the leadership skills. And I don't know if that is Dak Prescott, but they're obviously not. They're not responding to anything he's doing. And there were a couple of drops in that game too, that were just really poignant at the particular time. But a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans right now, they were actually an underdog in that game against the Baltimore Ravens. The CDC. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
One final point on the Cowboys.
Yeah.
The Cowboys built their whole reputation on running the football. They're not very good at that now. Yeah. You know, if you go all the way back to Emmitt Smith and Ezekiel Elliott in his prime, they've got him back now, but he's just a shell of what he once was. They thought Tony Pollard was going to be the guy, but they don't run the ball very well. And you cannot survive if you're just one dimensional.
No. And I'm sitting there watching the Tennessee Titans go on to an 0-3 record again. And Derrick Henry rolling up close to 200 yards. I mean, I the running game is such an anomaly in the National Football League. It's nothing to get rid of a guy that goes off and runs for 150 yards a game. I would always think that'd be a great thing because I know that the run sets up the pass, it sets up the play action. And for whatever reason, the running back just seems like it's like, whatever, let's get rid of him. The CDC announced yesterday that drug overdose deaths in the United States are down for the first time in 7 years from 111,000. That's hard to believe. 111,000 deaths to 107,543 in 2023. Some areas of the country down 20 to 30% in deaths. They're saying it's a better shot that they've got a hold of the fentanyl situation. But your thoughts on the scariness of drug overdoses in the United States of America? Do we finally get it, or is this just an anomaly?
Terrifying. Too many stories of devastated mothers coming on different shows and talking about their 15-year-old who was just trying to be, you know, one of the gang at a party, taking something that they knew better and they had been taught not to do, and it cost them their lives. And this is not a situation, Tony. And one thing I think people misunderstand, if you take a dose of fentanyl, even if you don't know that's what it is, for some people, it's not fatal. It's like so many other things in this kind of murky area that, you know, some different people are different biologically, and that foreign agents or something that might get introduced to their body can be lethal. Now, I find it plausible that we've gone from 111,000 to 107,000. But is that really something to celebrate? No. We've still got over 100,000 people dying of drug overdoses. And when you've got areas in California that are giving checks to people living out on the street that are strung out on all kinds of different drugs. They're a former addict that escaped that life and is now a proponent for total reform said, what do you think an addict's going to do when you hand them a check? Run out and have a steak dinner and spend a week at a luxury hotel? No, they're going to go buy drugs. So the government is paying people to kill themselves. It's absolutely absurd. And it's a problem that has just been not really addressed. I don't care what the CDC says. I don't think that there's a great information campaign or anything productive going on that may have impacted that number slightly. Again, 111 to 107. That's good, but I'll get excited when you tell me that it's been cut in half. That means there's something they're doing that's working. If it's just a little bit down, I don't find that as an encouraging sign.
Every day, 22 11 to 19 year olds lose their life on drug overdoses.
That is just stunning.
That's an entire classroom of kids that lose their life every single day. And I saw something on 60 Minutes last night, roughly 70% of all the things that are out there on the street, whether it's coming from a drug dealer or the internet, have something in it ain't supposed to have. So it's not like it was in the 60s and 70s where we're popping Quaaludes and eating mushrooms and it was all natural. It was good stuff. Yep. The Auburn Tigers were supposed to start 5-0 this year. They've already lost two games, and not a good game to lose to any time. Anytime you lose to Coach Pittman, it's not a good look. The coaching staff at Auburn, pretty scary right now.
Yeah. You know, I talked about it a lot in the off season. Paul Feinbaum did an interview at Greystone Golf Course here in Birmingham, and all these SEC coaches were in town to play in the Pro-Am and that, and he had all of them right in a row. The Hugh Freeze interview, this was back in July, I think. The Hugh Freeze interview just set off alarm bells with me. First of all, Terry Quillian, my partner, and I on our radio programs from day one, this is not Monday morning quarterback, when people were all excited about Hugh Freeze, we both declared it a terrible hire because we just didn't feel like he'd been out of the SEC about 10 years. The league is completely changing. He went to Liberty and had success, and that's great. But we really had questions of whether that was the right direction to go and have been proved right. In that Feinbaum interview, Tony, he was saying, you know, that's just so hard to be a head coach now. You know, you gotta best be a professional fundraiser. So much of my time is begging people for donations so we can get better players on the roster. And it's taken away from my ability to coach the team. Last year after the Music City Bowl, where they got embarrassed by Maryland, a mediocre team at best, Hughes said, well, you know, I was having to spend all that time recruiting and I didn't have much chance to get involved in the offensive game planning. Hugh is now throwing everybody under the bus. Yesterday, after the Arkansas loss, he said, you know, all we can do is teach these kids the right way to do things, not to throw the ball to the other team, not to put the ball on the ground. And yet, week after week, we work on this, and week after week, they continue to do it. So he's basically saying it's not the coach's fault. It's we got lousy players that can't execute. So Hugh's blaming everybody but himself. Paul asked him in that interview in the summer, well, coach, we haven't talked, we've buried the lead here. What about wins and losses? And he says, well, I'll just tell you this. We've added a lot of players. We're going to be better. We're going to be improved. How that equates to wins and losses, I don't know. Right? I immediately
we're just getting our boys ready for their careers and their futures. We don't care about winning and losing. We want to make men out of these football players.
If you're the coach, you are measured by wins and losses.
Exactly.
That's why they're paying you $10 or $11 million a year, Hugh, for your difficult job of having to raise funds and win ball games. And if you don't, you can point the finger at everybody else, but it's you ultimately.
I don't know if you've seen this. Have you seen the Oklahoma at Auburn betting line yet?
I have not, and I'm intrigued. Okay. Tell me.
Do you want to take a stab at it? Oklahoma at Auburn this weekend. You want to talk about scary. Take a stab at that line because you know what you're talking about. I mean, you should be able to come within a point of this.
I think based on how bad Oklahoma looked in the Tennessee game, and they looked bad, Tony, I think the Tennessee linemen looked faster than the Oklahoma skill players. Yeah. I think it's just kind of applauding. Venables was a defensive genius at Clemson. He's been head coach. They have basically been lousy all 3 years he's been at the helm. He somehow managed to upset Texas last year. I even said yesterday on my show on WJOX, don't be shocked if this is Auburn's last stand, Oklahoma's first SEC road game. I said, don't be absolutely blown away if Auburn somehow, some way finds a way to win this game, because I don't think Oklahoma's very good. So if I was setting the line on this game, I would make Oklahoma favorite, but barely. I'd say maybe 3.
That's why you're so good at what you do. 2.5 is the line. And when I said 2.5, I was talking to my son. My son thought I was going to be 16. I was like, no, I said, you got a lot to learn about. I said, they're not that good. 2.5. And that is the smelly fish. You and I know this because we handicap, we know these things. Auburn will win that football game. They will. Typical Auburn. They will win that game.
Let me give you another example. Oklahoma hosted Houston 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. They were a 26 or 27 point favorite. They won the game 17-13. They won by 4 points at home against that team. Saturday in that same Houston team went up to Cincinnati to play the Bearcats. The Cincinnati Bearcats beat them 54-7. Yeah. I mean, how revealing is that? That Oklahoma's just not. Oklahoma's all name, all hype. Oklahoma's not a good football team.
We're talking about scary things, getting ready for Halloween. The brand new movie Joker. There's also a movie, by the way, called Clowns in the Cornfield. Tell me that don't scare the shit out of me.
Now that scares the shit out of me.
This is probably a movie made with $13. They're just looking for that huge opening because just the title, Clowns in the Cornfield, is enough for me to walk in and walk back out and say, that was scared the hell out of me. But yeah, this is going to be, believe it or not, this is a musical. It's got Lady Gaga in it. It's got Joaquin Phoenix in it. He sings in the movie.
Oh, Joe boy.
It's about two people that meet in the insane asylum. It is a very, very dark movie, but it is a dark, dark musical. Will you see it?
It reminds me, Tony, I've been showering 5 times a day since my son about 10 years ago made me go to see House of 10,000 Corpses, Rob Zombie's movie. I felt grimy and unclean ever since. Clowns in the Cornfield sounds to me like a similar experience.
Something very, very scary. And I don't think anybody wants to see it happen unless you're a Miami Dolphin fan. Tua Tagovailoa, will he ever play football again? Very scary situation for him. And I know all of his friends and family are like, please don't play again. But when you've been playing football your entire life and that's what you do, what do, man? If all of a sudden someone said to you, Kip, if you keep talking, you're going to get laryngitis for the rest of your life, and you are a talker for a living. How difficult would that be?
That would be very tough. But I think Tua is going to be the response that I'm going to give you. I would talk till I got down to where I couldn't talk anymore.
I would too. And I think he plays. I think he's going to play.
I think he will. And because, I mean, you know, he had 3 concussions in 1 year in 2022. Last year, he said, okay, I got it. I understand. He slid all year. He didn't take a lot of chances. He did not have a single concussion the entire regular season last year, played every game, didn't miss any games. This year, the competitiveness comes back. That game was against Buffalo. That was their last chance. They were down a couple scores. They had to get the first down on that play, and he extended himself. And how bizarre, Tony, that the guy who laid that hit on him was Damar Hamlin, the guy who was the field deceased just 2 years before. You can't make that stuff up.
That's pretty scary stuff. You can't make up what happened Saturday night in Birmingham, too. You do the show, and the show, of course, airs all over the world. And we greatly appreciate everyone downloading the TKR app and listening to. We got people listening in Sydney, Australia, and everything else. We had something horrible happen here. And again, don't really hear a whole lot about it. I was supposed to be on Fox 6 this morning doing Music Mondays with Tony. It's a little segment I do with Fox 6 with Janice Rogers and Mike Dubberly. They blew me off today because they knew they were going to be talking about the shooting in downtown Birmingham and Southside, an area where you used to be able to park your car and walk around till 6 o'clock in the morning with $100 bills hanging out in your pocket.
Absolutely. Not worried
about being robbed. $100,000 reward up for grabs now after 4 people are killed, now 18 injured in the shooting in downtown Birmingham. Your thoughts?
And this was like an organized thing from what I'm hearing this morning. The police theorized this was an organized hit on one individual, and they just happened to shoot 20 other people in the process, because supposedly the car pulled up in a crowd, and I guess whoever they were targeting, they just opened fire. 4 guys got out and opened fire. This is not the random violence that we're used to. This seems like this is a lot more unsavory and really depraved than we first theorized, because this might have been an organized activity, and that's petrifying.
Unfortunately, the thing is, the target of that shooting appears to be one of the people that actually died in that shooting. And Agorn, I think I read you have to shoot at least, this is crazy, we're talking about it like it's no big deal, but you have to shoot at least 4 people in order to make it a mass shooting. You don't have to kill 4 people. You just have to have 4 people shot in an instance. It's either 3 or 4. And so that makes it a mass shooting. And again, there's like 700 mass shootings, and 200 of those have been at schools. Just really sad. And again, Southside, that used to be, I mean, Louie Louie's, Frostbites, Clyde Houston's, Hoppers, Dave's, Louie. I mean, there's one bar after another. You used to park your car and be able to walk. Dugan's, remember the cheeseburgers at Dugan's?
Howl at
the Moon Saloon was fantastic. There was all kinds. The Upside Down Plaza. So many great bars. You just get out of your car and walk around the Bootio, or as we know as a studio, the Bootio. Unbelievable stuff. And finally, because we did a show on this, and I want to cross promote because I'll shamelessly do this, but the latest on P. Diddy, he's going to prison right now. And since you and I actually talked about him last week, he is on suicide watch, a really scary situation for a guy been known as one of the greatest singers, the great producers of all time. And now it appears he'll never get out of prison.
Yeah, we talked about how the whole idea of you know, your immunity, if you reach a certain point, we talked about Tiger Woods last week when we talked about this, how he says, look, you get to the point where you don't think you're accountable for anything. You can do whatever you want because you're Tiger Woods, you're P. Diddy. You're above all of the things that everybody else has to subject themselves to. And the fact that, there's just bundles and just an unlimited supply of videotape of all this depravity and all this terrible things are going on. I mean, he's basically convicted himself. There's no defense when you can watch on tape what he's directing people to do and doing himself to unwilling participants.
God bless the prosecutors who have to watch that crap. Someone's got to sit in a room and watch thousands and thousands of hours. No, you're going to need some therapy. You're going to need some serious help after watching it. And again, like you said, everything's documented. It may be the easiest case they've ever had to document. Yeah. And it's been going on since Justin Bieber was 12 years old. I mean, it's unbelievable.
And there's a line of people wanting to testify to what happened to them. It's amazing how brave people get when multitudes come forward. If you only have one witness, they might be kind of hesitant. Somebody that kind of money and influence, they might be hesitant to come forward. But if you've got a dozen, 20, 25 witnesses that are talking about the abuse that was subjected on them, I mean, he's got no chance. And I kind of reject the whole suicide watch thing. Somebody that's in that position of being that self-aggrandizing and thinking that they're some kind of superhuman category, I find it difficult that he would do harm to himself. I really don't believe that he's suicidal.
Probably a little too narcissistic to get that done. That's what we find scary here, Halloween. We'll do some terrifying, more scary stuff next week. It is Kiefer and Curry.
That right and here. Jellyfish, that. Tony. I'm terrified. I don't want to
pee on it. You'll be fine. Pee on it. You'll be fine. Okay. That's another scary thing. Don't pee on it. You'll be fine.
I don't have very good aim these days, so I don't like that idea.
I'll take care of you next time we go to the beach.
Oh, boy. That's reassuring.
Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry. Make sure you check out our TV show called The Starting Lineup, 10:30, 11 o'clock. We'll have Trent Dilfer on. If you missed it, go podcast to go check out the wonderful Taylor Hicks. He was on the shows past week.
He was great.
And you'll get a mouthful of it. It's fantastic. Thank you, sir. We'll talk next week.
All right, Tony, it's been a blast.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.